Let the church say amen. Amen. God has blessed us once again that we are able to come out and be here once again. So we ought to be eternally grateful for that and be happy that God has blessed us. You know, we didn't have to get up this morning. We didn't have to be able to dress ourselves this morning. We didn't have to have food at our table this morning. But God has blessed us with all of those blessings and many more. And if you think you're not blessed, just look at around you and see alternatives every single day. God is blessing us. So God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. Can't beat God, and there's no need of even trying to beat God. This morning, the scripture was read, a familiar scripture, familiar passages to most of us, if not all of us. You've heard this before. I call this a what if sermon. What if, just in case you have forgotten, what if you just be your memory be recalled upon this? And we need, every so often, we need to be reminded of why, where, and what we are in and what we are doing here. We didn't just get up this morning to just come out to entertain one another. We came here to hear the word of God, and we came here to serve God in spirit and in truth. And this is what we're supposed to do. So from the book of Matthew, the chapter is 16, and the verses are 13 through 18, and we shall revisit them. But let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this morning because you have blessed us. Father, we didn't know when we laid our heads down last night if we would see this new morning today. We didn't know this, Father, if when we laid our heads down last night, if we would be able to rise and get up. But you have blessed us and you continue to bless us. You have given us, Father, more than we deserve. But, Father, we know that you are a giving God and we ought to be a giving people and a loving people. But sometimes we fall short. And this morning, Father, I just pray that we can get back on the right track, all of us who may be in the short end of loving and giving. Father, thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all you do for us. Thank you this morning for the church here, and particularly the church here on Stony Island. We thank you for its leadership and their families. We thank you for its membership and their families. And we pray and thank you, Father, for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. And we pray for their families, and we pray for those who shall take part as we continue on in this morning's services. Father, we pray that the things that we do may be found acceptable and be decent and in order. Father, we pray this morning for those who are sick and shut in. And we thank you, O Heavenly Father, that they are as well as they are. But Father, we're just asking and praying of you that if it be your will, you make their burdens a little bit lighter. We pray for those who may be suffering from and grieving from the loss of a loved one. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would continue to bless them and strengthen them as well. We pray for the leaders of this world in which we live, in particular this nation, as we struggle through all the crises that we have going on in this world. We just pray, O Lord, that you give strength to those who make the rules and regulations that we must live and adhere by. We pray that they not make any rules nor regulations that would prevent us from serving you, O Heavenly Father, in spirit and in truth. We pray this morning, O Lord, for your Son, and thank you for your Son, Jesus, who went to the cross on our behalf. And we thank you, O Heavenly Father. This morning, Father, we come to thee praying and asking you once again to continue to bless each and every one of us. Be with the church, be with its membership, watch over and keep us all. And we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who died on yonder's cross. Let us all say amen. Amen. We as members of the church, which was built by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come together in this institution each and every Sunday morning so that we may serve him in the church of his choosing, not of man's choosing. There is Bible history for this church. And yes, some may not like to hear it, but the church is a business and we must therefore treat it as such. The business that the church is in is that of drawing of all men closer to Jesus Christ, that they may find the right path to heaven. What is and where is heaven? Well, that's not the message today, but I'll simply say it is the home of the Godhead and the place where most of us, if not all of us, are striving to get to. So this morning we want to speak for a few minutes from the message upon this rock. Upon this rock. Let us continue to try to work on getting to heaven. And the first step is the church. So what does the Bible say about the church of Christ? The Bible, first of all, gives us the church's founder. Some may refer to Jesus as the builder. But the Bible says, Jesus said, upon this rock, in Matthew 16 and 18, upon this rock I will build my church. Whether you say it's founder or it's builder, he is both rolled into one. He said he would build the church, and he founded the church over 2,000 years ago. Jesus both found and built the church, because when you look at that text, you look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, once again it says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So this is the first time in the Word of God where we find the word church. Throughout the entire Bible, the word church has never shown up until we get to Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. What does that mean? Well, that simply means church means the called out. And from the Greek word ekklesia, nobody should be without an understanding of the term church. It does not mean this building that we are in this morning. The church is not this building, because we could pitch a tent and meet in a tent. The church are the people that make up the congregation. So we've got to remember, when we refer to church, we're not talking about this building at 1600 East 84th Street, because the building could be anywhere. The church is the people that are in the church. We, the people, make up the church. So when you look at this matter a little further, the founder, who was and still is Jesus Christ, he is Christ divine, the Son of God. But he was born a son of an earthly carpenter. Therefore, it is fitting in the scripture that we should understand the term builder, which Jesus used. Even though Christ did not nail not one nail, nor did he use a saw to physically build a church. Once again, the church is the church building is not the church. But the church came into being from his discovering that when he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Christ, though he never raised a physical church house, he is the chief cornerstone, according to Ephesians chapter 2, around verse number 20. No other man has the credentials to call the church his, because no one has shed his blood to purchase the church. We have a founder and a builder of the church. So when we think about the founder in the building, we're going to discover how we got to Matthew 16 and 18 in a moment. But I want you to notice it once again. And if you notice, I always refer back to my text, because I don't want you to lose where we're our focus there. So it says once again, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So we serve in the church of Christ. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ in his church. In his church that he is the founder and the builder of. Well, Brother Carter, you say that he is the text says he is the builder, but you say he is the founder. I say he is both founder and builder. So when we look at let us look at now the foundation of the church. Some folk have been led to believe that Peter is the foundation of the church. So I want you to watch that text in Matthew 16 and 18. No building can stand except it has a solid foundation. Peter did not, was not, and shall not ever be the foundation of the church. His confession, and not Peter the man, was what Christ spoke of when he said, "Upon this rock, upon this rock I will build my church." Jesus did not say upon Peter, but instead he said upon this rock, which was the rock of truth. And let us back up for a moment and look at verses number 13 of Matthew chapter 16. This is how we got to 18. We want to start at 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then in verse number 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Jesus did not say, He did not get to the point right away. He let them answer. He let those who would answer the question. In Matthew 13 there, as He came into the coast and He met with His disciples, He asked them, who do men say that I am? So He asked the question of His disciples. A simple question, if you will. Who do men say that I am? In verse 14, they began to answer the question. Their answers, though apparently did not set that well with Jesus, or because it wasn't what He wanted to hear. He wanted not the opinions of others. He wanted to know, whom do you say that? Look at verse 15. He says unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Not the opinions of others, but who do you say that I am? Not what somebody else said, but I want to know what you think. That tells me that one day we're going to have to answer and speak for ourselves. We're going to have to answer the Bible, the Lord God of the Bible. So He asked the disciples, He said, whom do you say that I am? They had been taught with greater knowledge than others. They had walked with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. This is why we must come to the knowledge of Jesus, every man for himself. So then around verse number 16, look what Peter chimed in. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So then that's how we came up to Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. The Bible's Peter answered, this was the truth or the rock which Jesus speak of in verse number 18. The name Peter signifies a stone or a rock, but not the rock that Jesus spoke of when He told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. He called Peter in John chapter 1 around about verse number 42. He said, you shall be called Peter, the rock, but not the rock that's in Matthew 16 and 18. Jesus simply confirms the name rock, but not as the foundation of the church. Peter was Peter and not the rock that the church is built on. If Peter was the foundation, I need to ask a question this morning. How would you explain 1 Corinthians chapter 3 around verse number 11? For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid by which is Jesus Christ. Or what about 1 Peter chapter 2 around verse number 6? Wherefore also it continued in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now, are you going to believe on Peter or Jesus Christ? I think it's Jesus Christ. How can Peter possibly be the rock that's the foundation of the church unless everyone believes on Peter and not on Jesus Christ? If Christ be not the foundation of the church, then I pose this scenario to you. If Christ be not the foundation of the church, then what difference does it make anyhow? For we have all been deceived. Isn't that right, church? If Peter was the rock that the church is built on, then we are serving a dead builder and a dead founder. Peter was crucified. And somebody said, how did Peter die? Well, Peter requested to be crucified upside down on the cross. So Peter was crucified. Jesus also was crucified. But Jesus died and He lived. There's the difference, church. Jesus died and He lived. And Peter does not live today. Peter died and He stayed dead. So Peter cannot be the foundation or the rock that the church was built on. Jesus said up on Matthew 16 and 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Thank God that the church of Christ is in existence today. Thank God the church of Christ shall live on because our Savior and Master Jesus Christ lives on. Isn't that right? So we've now got the foundation of the church in place. We want to find out who the owner or the church owner is. In Matthew 16 and 18, it shows who is the owner. It shows Jesus said, my church. You can't get any closer to ownership than when you say my church. If I told you I'm going to build a new house, and now that would be my house, even though I don't build a house because I can't build anything but a sandwich. And so how could I tell you that if I said this is my house, how could you have it to be somebody else's house? These very words let us know that the church belongs to Christ and not to Satan. Not to Satan with his untruth. He cannot and should not and will not ever stop the church. Even death itself can't stop the church. Since Christ shed his own blood, it just seems right that he should be the owner of the church. And in Ephesians chapter 5, Christ is the head of the church. And in 5 and 23, and then in verse 24, the church is subject to Christ. That means the rules that were instituted back in the first century church are still the rules today. It does not matter that it may not sound good. Music is still should not be used in the church. In Ephesians 5 and 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. If Brother Jackson got up here on drums and Brother Burnside got up on the guitar and I stood before you and said, I'm going to sing vocals, would that be right because we said that's what we're going to do? I don't think so. Not according to the text here. We've got to make melody in your heart. And if I got drums and a guitar going in my ear, I'm going to lose focus or lose sight on what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be making melody in my heart. And I'm trying to listen to the music. I'm trying to see if Brother Jackson has made a mistake on the drums or Brother Burnside has got the right tune going and I'm trying to sing. You know that's not right. You know that's not right. That's why the angelic all-stars are never here anymore with us. They've never been here and they never will be here. They'll stay out on the road if that's where they're at. I think that the church must always be subject unto Christ. I think that the church of Christ will always be under the headship and ownership of Christ. In Ephesians 1 and verse number 22, he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things in the church. The church is owned by Jesus Christ. So Christ has the right to set the rules in the running of the church. What if Christ was not the head of the church? Then we'd have some of everything going on in the church, would we not? We'd have our bingo parties going on. We'd have our date nights going on. You've heard me say this before. We'd have our date nights going on. We'd have our hookup sessions. We'd have everything going on. But thank God that God provided the rules for it. And it just gets on my nerve every time I see some organization that calls itself a church with the name of its founder written out on a sign above the building. And I began to wonder, how in the world can they say that we're all following the same God, but yet you make your own rules? How can you name your own self as the founder when Jesus founded the church in the word church over 2,000 years ago? What that person really means when they put their name as founder up there is what they really mean is that I was the one who purchased this building or I rented this building. That's what they really mean. They put a sign in and claim that they founded when the church was founded over 2,000 years ago, and they really had no part in that founding of the church. But it's funny. I find it humorous sometimes when I hear people as they talk and they believe everything that they read and hear that goes on in the world except what's in God's Bible. They'll believe no matter how small the article is in the newspaper, they'll read it and then they'll come and ask you, did you read about such and such thing last night in last night's paper? And they'll say, well, my opinion, and then they'll start to give you their opinion on it. But yet they can't go to the Bible and see that Jesus has already given us opinion on things in matters of the church, and that's the way it ought to be. So we need to understand just a little bit here. If we believe all the things that are in the world, why can't we believe what God says? They believe all this stuff, but they don't believe the rules about worshiping the Lord the way we are instructed. If we would all read around Acts chapter 20 and about verse number 28, we would be able to understand and be able to discern a little better who is and which is the right church. In summary, it says, to feed the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. He didn't ask you for not one pint of blood. He didn't ask me for not one pint of blood. He shed His own blood. Who is the owner of the church that Scripture speaks of? Well, it's Jesus the Son, not God the Father. He says, which He purchased with His own blood, that He is still the Son. Well, somebody said, well, how do you know that's the Son? Well, I'll tell you this. How many times do you recall in the Bible where God the Father shed any blood? But on the other hand, notice in John 19, starting it with verse number 33, this is the scene from the cross of Jesus, I should say. But when they came to Jesus, this is when He was on the cross. When they came to Jesus, they saw that He was dead already, and they break not His leg. But in verse number 34, but one of the soldiers with his spear pierced the side. That's Jesus' side. Pierced his side, and forthwith came blood and water. Isn't that right? Blood and water. So with that blood coming out, what do you think that was doing? He was shedding His own blood. Now, God never shed blood. I'm not being against God. I'm simply saying the church is the church of Christ, not the church of God, but the church of Christ. So you need to be careful when you see a sign that says, this is the real church of God. This is the church of God and Christ. The church should be the church of Christ. So when we get to know God the Father, that we understand that God the Father didn't shed any blood, but His Son did. Therefore, since He founded the church, He's the foundation of the church, we must allow Him and conclude that Christ is also the owner of the church. So it's fitting that it be called the Church of Christ. And upon this rock, Jesus proclaimed His church would be built. And until everybody can prove to me that somebody else is the owner of the church, I'm going to stick with the Church of Christ, and I'm going to stay in the Church of Christ. So I ask you the question, will you this morning? Will you remember Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18? And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I tell you this morning, as I bring the message to a close, the Church of Christ is the right church. There is nothing like the Church of Christ, because nobody else shed their blood for the church but Christ Himself. And any man that tells you my church is just as good as your church, they're nothing but a liar. Their church is not as good as your church unless their church is the church of Christ. And if they're not members of the Church of Christ, grab them by the hand and say to them, sit down. Let me explain the facts of life to you about the church. The church was built by Jesus Christ Himself. He is both founder and builder of the church. Now we know that he didn't build the actual building, but then we don't have to be in an actual building to be the Church of Christ. We can be in a tent out in the back somewhere. Have you ever been to an old-fashioned down in the South tent meeting? Well, I have. I was sitting there in the tent in a cow pasture, and I heard this man preaching, and I'm steady watching the ground because I'm thinking, what if something crawls up in here while I'm sitting here? But I didn't let it take my focus from the Church of Christ and the word that was being preached. I tell you, there's nothing like the Church of Christ. God is in the Church of Christ, and He built the church for Himself. He was the founder and builder of the church for Himself. So if you ever begin to wonder and think to yourself, I got a son, or I got a daughter, or I got a grandchild, and they're not members of the church yet, how do I go about explaining it to them? Well, simply open the Bible and let the Bible do the explaining for you. You just read and the Bible will explain it for you. The Bible will explain to you that if He founded the church and called it the church some 2,000 years ago, how can we come up with some new term that's not in God's Bible? How can we come up with a new term for the word church? Because the church means that we're called out, and God called us out over 2,000 years ago. Did He not, church? So I tell you, if you're not a member of the Lord's church today, you're in a wrong institution. If you're a member of any institution, you're in the wrong one if you're not a member of the Lord's church. Well, preacher, I just refuse to believe that everything my grandma and grandfather taught me 25, 40 years ago can be wrong. Well, I'm sorry to say, they were wrong. I came up the same way with grandparents who were not members of the Lord's church. I didn't learn until I became an adult that the Church of Christ was even in existence, more or less being a member of the church. But when I found out the truth, I headed straight there. And I've been there ever since. Oh, now, there was a brief period when I wasn't there, but that's another story. But when I found out the truth, I've been in the church ever since. And if you're not a member of the Lord's church, I know my time is up, and I'm closing right now, second time. And if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you have an opportunity. We'll give you that opportunity this day, not tomorrow. You don't have to wait for the fifth Sunday when we have a general baptism. We'll do it today. Brother Jackson will put on his boots, and he's ready. He'll get in the water with you, because you must go down in the water. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized in the watery grave of baptism. There's no other way around it. You can't be sprinkled into Christ. You must be baptized into Christ. And if you've been away from the church for a while, you knew from a long time ago that the church is right. But some kind of way you went out of the church and you've fallen on bad and hard times, but you want to come back. Will you ask God to forgive you of your past transgression? Come forward, ask the church to pray for you that you may gather some strength and that you may continue on the road to be in with the Lord one day. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.